dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Deep in the heart of all God's people, deep in the heart of all people, I believe, even God's redeemed ones, is a longing for restoration. There's a sense that things are not exactly right. Things are not as they are meant to be, and we yearn to be made new in our relationships, new in the circumstances of our lives, new in our physical circumstances. We long for restoration. And this longing is really very strong at this time of the year that we call Advent. Come, Lord Jesus, is the cry, the prayer during Advent. Come and restore us. Make all things right. Make the world as it should be, and our lives and our relationships as they should be. And so Psalm 80 is a really good place for us to begin our season of Advent, because Psalm 80 speaks very deeply of the human longing for restoration. It's possible that we are able to, most of the time in our affluent Western culture, to push this yearning or this longing into the background and to say, well, you know, things are okay, it's all right, life can just go on as normal. But often circumstances intervene. Things happen which bring to the surface for us once again that sense that everything is not right with the world. This happened to me actually just this week on Thursday when I received an email from a friend in Alice Springs who said that the news was that the daughter of a dear friend who we have visited at Hermannsburg was murdered in Alice Springs last week. Things are not as they should be. We sometimes experience times when it seems as if God is far off, when it seems as if the heavens are closed and all of our prayers are simply bouncing off the ceiling, when it seems like God is not listening and he doesn't care. And in fact, throughout history, all of God's people have experienced times and circumstances like this. And that's what Psalm 80 is about. The heavens are shut. It's like this picture of a huge bank of dark clouds that has rolled across the sun and closed heaven, and God is not accessible, and there is no light that is shining through. And Psalm 80 lets God have it in really honest terms. The heavens are shut. God is not listening. Listen to some of the things that the psalmist writes about this. O Lord God Almighty, how long will your anger smoulder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us a source of contention to our neighbours, and our enemies mock us. Pretty strong words. And in fact, as I've shared the words of this psalm with people of your age and stage in life, the response is often a very pious, you can't say that to God. You can't do that. We would never pray like that. It's almost as if God's shoulders are not big enough to hear and take our troubles, as if his ears are not mature enough to hear the reality of life as we experience it. Could that really be the case? Well, no. And God's people throughout history have recognized that it's okay to complain to God. And this whole genre of prayer has been wrapped up in the prayer book of the Bible, in the Psalms, in a group of Psalms called the Lament Psalms. Psalm 80 is one of the lament psalms. It's called a communal lament because it's all of the people together who are saying to God, things are not right and they are not as they should be. We need to realize as we come to these psalms that lament, complaining to God and telling him that things are not the way that he promised they would be, lament is an act of faith. This is not a faithless turning away from God. It is an approaching to God, holding his promises strong in your hand and saying, look at what you promised. Look at what's happening. Why do the two of these not match up with each other? Just go back. Sorry. And so lament is an act of faith. It's a request, a demand, a complaint to God to act and to do what he has promised, and to do what we know he is capable of, and to restore the world as it really should be. And almost every single lament psalm, with only one exception in the whole of the Psalter, ends with praise. As God's people let out their real feelings to a real God, they come to the point where they can again say, "But I will praise you, God. I praise you because you will be faithful to your promises." Laments are also prayers which take us into the suffering of the world. And when I had no words to pray for my friend on the death of his daughter, I found myself in Psalm 80. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. Don't let us keep drinking bowls of tears. Please, Lord. And so for us who often have a really good, comfortable, enjoyable life, the Psalms of Lament help us to widen our horizons of what is happening to the people of God and to all people around the world. And they give a voice, an expression to that which we have no words for. Now, there's a key to understanding and praying the Psalms, and that is this. Jesus is the one who prays the Lament Psalms. When Jesus was on the cross, three of his sayings were from Psalms of Lament. My God, why have you abandoned me? Straight from Psalm 22. Which is the most amazing prophetic psalm about crucifixion and rejection that could possibly be imagined. I thirst is from Psalm 69, where it says that they give vinegar to drink to this man who is suffering. And into your hands I commit my spirit is from Psalm 31. Again, a psalm of lament, but a psalm also of great trust. So we find that when we are praying these prayers, Jesus is right there with us and he's praying along with us because he has experienced everything that is common to the human being and he's prayed these prayers. The second key is to understand that Jesus is also the one who fulfills the Psalms. The whole of Scripture is like the cradle in which we find Christ. Christ Jesus. He's wrapped up there in it. Someone in my seminary class once said, this is a bit like, where's Wally? It's like, where's Jesus in this psalm? And if you can't find him there, well, then you better put him in there. And Jesus is right at the heart of Psalm 80 as well. We'll get to that. So back to Psalm 80 with that background on the lament psalms. The heavens are shut and God's face is turned away. That's the way that it seems to the people of God as they pray this prayer. Restore us, O God, may your face shine upon us that we may be saved. What is it to have someone's face turned away? What is it to have someone's face shine on you? To demonstrate this, I'm going to need a volunteer. I'm going to pick on Reese. Reese, I want you to come out here, walk up here and greet from the back. Greet me as if I'm a long-lost friend that you haven't seen for ages, okay?
not open.
Okay. Good, that's good. Now, again, same thing, right? Reese, it's great to see you, mate. It's been... That's the difference between having someone's face turned away. It's the worst thing you can do. You break contact with them. And having someone's face shine on you, to light up when they actually see you, and to say, it's so good to be with you. And that's what the plea of this psalm is. Thanks, Reese. You can sit. Restore us, O Lord. Let your face shine on us. Look at us. Beam on us. Smile on us again, that we may be saved. Psalm 80 finishes with a great expression of hope from verse 17. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us and we will call on your name. Jesus is the shepherd who leads his people. Jesus is the son of man who has gone through death and whom God has raised up for himself so that he might restore all things. For the truth is that although it may seem that way, God's face is not turned away from us. God is favorable to us and he smiles on us and beams at us for the sake of his son Jesus, who has gone into death, who has gone through the valley of the shadow of death and come out the other side and been raised up by God so that he might restore all things. In my message to my friend David, I quoted from Psalm 80, and I sent these words to him. Dear David and family, our hearts and prayers go out to you, and we grieve and weep with you at the death of Jasmine. We are with you in thought and spirit, though we cannot be there in person. We thank God the Father and our Saviour Jesus for the sure hope of the resurrection, for we believe that if we died with Christ in baptism, we will also live with him. I greet you with the words of Psalm 80, the psalm for the first Sunday of Advent, a lament and longing for God's restoration. Hear us, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before us. Awaken your might, come and save us. Restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the Son of Man you have raised up for yourself. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty, make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. With hope in our good shepherd who leads us through the valley of the shadow of death, with hope in the Son of Man and in his resurrection, knowing that God restores us and raises us up beyond death, that he does make his face shine on us and save us. May God's peace be with you. I don't know if you use the Psalms in your personal prayer times. I would strongly encourage you to get into this prayer book of the Bible, to recognize that the Psalms of Lament are also acts of faith and that they take us into the suffering of a broken world. And they express in words what we often can't put in our own words. But that most importantly, here we meet and we are pointed to Jesus himself, the one who makes God's face shine on us. There's a great cross reference to God's face shining. Those of you who have grown up in Lutheran churches have probably heard it, and it may have become a little familiar, a little too familiar. But in Numbers chapter 6, God tells the priests to bless the people with these words. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.'" Amen.